story about Jan. I hope he won't mind. Up in Gatlinburg, we had the conference, and Brother Jan was the first preacher on Sunday morning. And I had that by purpose because Jan always finishes on time. I mean, he sometimes goes a long time talking about other stuff, but he always finishes during the time frame. And so up there at Gatlinburg, he had gone about 35 minutes, which was the set time. And he just kept on going. And he was doing a great message, so I didn't want to interrupt him. So finally, I stood up and got where Jan could see me. And I was going like this. And Jan just kept on preaching. And finally, I said, Jan, we got to stop because we had to be out of that room by, 11 o'clock. And so I got to feeling really bad about that. And so that night I sent Jan a message and I said, Jan, I want to apologize if I embarrassed you by breaking in to your message. And he wrote back and he said, no, I owe you the apology. He said, I took something for sleep the night before that I'd not taken before. And he said, I don't even remember what I preached. And I said, well, brother, I can sympathize with you because the same thing happened to me years ago. Saturday night, I stayed up and watched an Alabama football game. At that time, I had to take nothing for sleep. I'd had no problem sleeping. But that night, I could not go to sleep. And so finally, around 12 o'clock, I got up and I took a Unisom. I bought it for Mary, but I took a Unisom tablet. And the next morning, I got up here, taught Sunday school, preached, and went home, and Mary said she's going to fix some lunch. I said, no, I'm going to bed. And I went to lay down and take a nap. And, of course, our church started back at 6 o'clock Sunday night. And so at 4 o'clock, I woke up. And Stephanie called and wanted to know if I was all right. And so I got back that night, and I told the people, I said, I want to apologize for whatever I said this morning because I don't remember. And Stephanie said, man, I knew something was wrong with you, Dad. You were all over the place. And she said, and so the moral of that story is, on Saturday night, if I stay awake, I just stay awake. I don't take nothing. But I understood, and Brother Jan and I, we love each other. I love him, and Mary Jo appreciate his ministry and his faithfulness. Always eager to testify and give his testimony to people and preach to them. Whoever he meets. So, Brother Jan, we're ready. And I got your clock right there, buddy.
Okay. I got to come up here and to preach, and my Bible's gone. And all my notes are gone. Now, me and God, we knew what we was going to preach when I got up here. But now, God only knows. And you're talking about me not remembering. Most people don't remember what I preach anyway. But anyway, Steve was talking about how that happened in North Carolina and the hurricane and all that stuff, how that God's not in that. But I want to tell you, we got at that motel yesterday, and the light in the bathroom was like the Twilight Zone. It was going like it's right here. And Mary Jo was saying, I can't put on my makeup with that. And then we went to turn on the water, and the whole faucet moved, And then the air conditioning stayed on 60. So I said, I can't handle this. So what we did is me and Mary Jo held hands, and we prayed to God, and hallelujah, we got another room. You tell me God ain't in it. I mean, hallelujah. Huh? No, I'm getting so old. I'm glad to see Obie here. Yeah. My goodness. Now, me and Mary Jo rejoiced all the way up here, thinking about we're going to get to see Obie. When they got so old, me and Obie, when we stumble now, we stumble so much we have to put a hard hat on. And people think, well, that's ridiculous. Well, what we do, we just put a skateboard on either arm. Nobody thinks anything about it anymore. But I want to talk to you about the new creature. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm in Brian's Bible, so I'm going to read his notes. So if I don't do something right, it's from Brian's notes. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And what I like to do a lot in the Bible is keep it in context. Stay in 2 Corinthians or thereabout, you know, and drift every once in a while, but the main context is 2 Corinthians. I sound really loud. Am I really loud? Okay, because they told me one year up here, I got these hearing aids, and so sometime I think I'm loud, I'm not. And they told me, they said, you preach like you're preaching to somebody across the street. So I'm afraid I'm going to be too loud, you know. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you have the new creature. Look in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, that's amazing when I got saved. It's like everything backwards. Everything I thought was that way is not that way. It's in reverse. And so I told Mary Jo when I was studying for a while, I said, man, everything's actually backwards in this world. When you're a new creature, everything becomes new. Old things are passed away. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know. We should know if we don't, because he said, for we know. He said, for we know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle, but this earthly house, this what you're living in now, it says of this tabernacle. If you go to Psalms chapter 19, verse 4, you'll find that God put a son in this tabernacle. So I know what he's talking about. He's talking about this universe, where we are now, where we live at, where the sun is. He says in verse 1, for we know that of our earthly house. And I use this scripture a lot at funerals. When they ask me to do a grave side service after I preach the funeral, I use this all the time. In verse 1, for we know that of our earthly house, of this tabernacle, we're dissolved. You know what that is. You know, from dust thou was formed, from dust thou shalt go. Was dissolved. We have. Now notice those verses, those words. I like to just, and I was telling somebody, you know, if you read a verse in the Bible, it means exactly what it says. You cannot go over there and look in Colossians and go over there and look in Ezekiel and make it say anything different. It is what it is wherever you read it. And what he said, we have. Not we're going to get. No, it ain't. It don't say we're going to get, does it? No. I like what Brother Jerry said one time. He said, say what the Bible says. And he'd get all red-faced and say what the... And I just love that. That's what you do. You say what the Bible says. It says we have. That means it's there now. He says in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this, the house, we want that house that's eternal in the heaven. He said, we've grown for this. Folks, ever since I became a new creature, I've grown for this. I want that to happen. I know, that in the end, when it's all over, all the remembrance of all this is going to be gone. All the sorrow and the pain, the thing that you experience now, won't be no more. I groan for that. That new creature that's inside of me. After I got saved, I groan for that, and I groan for it all the time. Now he says in verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly designed to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Earnestly designed. I want that. Say, well, I want to live a little bit longer. Not me. I'm ready to go. Because I know that once I'm there, in that new creature, in that new house, made without hands, it's going to be amazing. I think it's there's a song that says, I can only imagine. I love that song. I can only imagine. And so every day I get up in a new world. Well, you know me, I'm kind of dizzy anyway. So I get up in a new world. And whatever happens on that day is normal. I don't care what it is. It's normal for where I am. So I groan for that house that's made without hands, that new creature. That new creature. And notice what it said in verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. Now this word naked here, it carries the idea of there's not going to be no guilt. No guilt at all. None whatsoever. To be naked is like to be ashamed. To feel guilty. Well, I groan for this. I groan for this new house. Well, I won't be ashamed or feel guilty anymore. Does it bother you when you do things wrong? Folks, I'm telling you, it does me. Before, it didn't bother me. It was like, let's do it some more. Now it's like, God, I wish I hadn't done that. That new creature that's in me don't want to do that. Paul said, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. No, I don't want to do it no more. I can't have pleasure in that no more. It's fun for a little bit, but after it's over with, I think, why did I do that? That new creature that's inside of me. Now, Paul talks about this new creature. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it might take me a while to find it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, no, I won't because I know where it's at. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what I like about I used to have a Bible that had notes all in the side. I had a note Bible. You could actually fold the page and, boy, you're talking about putting some notes in it. When it's called a note Bible, you could put some notes in that Bible. I used to have a note Bible, and I've lost them over the years. I've lost probably 3 or 4 of them. The back was taped up on them and all that stuff. And you used to, words been on a certain side of the page, and if it's not there, then you can't find it, you know. Well, I got myself used to just picking up a Bible. Just picking up a Bible. And I got, you know, you get into habits. And so I know where it's at. Sometimes my brain don't work, but I know where it's at. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 8. And that's not what I want. Oh, let me find it. Let me think a minute. Oh, it is. But something just not went down too far. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let me start at the beginning. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as others, epistles of commendation to you, a commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It's written in our hearts. We have the Spirit of God. You know, when God saved me, and God did save me through His Son, Jesus Christ, when God saved me, it is written in my heart. And when I became a new creature, it was no more like words that are in a book. I had this new creature that's inside of me. God gave me a new spirit. He gave me a new heart. My desires are not what they used to be. And that happened 43 years ago, I think it was, somewhere like that. But you know, I became a new creature. When I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, it's like, and Sam will understand this, I rang the bell. Yes, sir. I had new life. I became something totally different. And that new creature. Now he says in verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, administrated by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stones, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Folks, it wasn't just inanimate objects. It wasn't in something that didn't have life. Folks, I have this epistle. I'm like the epistle of Christ. And it's written in my heart. And I'm speaking it to you right now. I have the Spirit of Almighty God. And folks, things change with me. He says, not like in tables of stone. Those tables there that's in the Scripture, I like to do word studies a lot. Now back up from this. I think when you back up, you don't hear it as loud, do you? He didn't control that Georgia game. Yeah. It's the table here. I went back to the root word here. And it has to do with he uses it in Romans chapter 9. It's like the potter with the clay. When I become a new creature, God Almighty started shaping me. I started being conformed unto the image of His Son. And I become a new creature. The day that I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, everything changed. And I remember that time. I remember fighting it to the bitter end. I remember standing in the shower, and every day I did this in the same place at the same time. I'd say, Lord, forgive me of my sins that I do today. And I'd think, didn't He already do that? Then I'd think, I don't want to take a chance because I don't want to go to hell. So I'd say, Lord, forgive me. And one day I said, I can't do this no more. I cannot do this no more. If what He did ain't good enough, then I'll bust hell wide open. From that point on, my whole life changed. I become a new creature. And what He says here, He said, it's not written in tables of stone, but in tables of flesh of a heart. It's like my old stony heart that wouldn't give up. And it was like a stone. I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't give it up that I didn't have to ask for forgiveness. No, I didn't. I had to have some kind of insurance. I just wouldn't give it up. I had a stony heart. Well, that day in the shower, I had a fleshly heart. It was soft. You could feel it. And God Almighty could shape me. He could form me. And He did. And now, when I read the stuff about the Word of God, and I read the stuff about Christ and what He does, I got a soft heart. I got a tender heart, the Bible says. I'm tender hearted. It's no longer a heart of stone, but I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was working on a nuclear plant. Mike over there was, where's Mike? Not here today, but he was working with me. And I taught Bible study there. And Mike said all of the Baptists, and I called me Bullinger. Said he was called me a Bullingerite. So when Mike came here and seen my name, he said, I had to look you up. I had to run you down, find you. So I had to apologize to you. You know, and I had a new heart. And so I'm teaching. But as I got to teaching, I knew that I had to work, and I had to work. And people there at work didn't look too well that you're supposed to be working and you're teaching the Bible. So I knew I wanted to teach. My heart that God had gave me, the spirit that I had that was in me, yearned. It yearned to get God's Word out. And folks, that whole time I was working there, it yearned. And so I decided to quit my job. Not that the Lord would take care of me and keep me up and all that kind of stuff. Folks, I had worked a long time on my trade. I've always never worried about a job. Never in my whole life worried about a job. But I quit the nuclear plant because I wanted to be free. I wanted to be able to tell people about the gospel any time I wanted to. And folks, when I started working for myself, it nobody controlled me. You wouldn't believe some of the things I told people and how mad they got. And just all screaming at me. And I'd be walking away and they'd say, wait a minute, I want you to do it. My brother saying, man, I didn't think we were going to get that, you know. Folks, I wanted to be free. That new creature was groaning in me. I seen the things of God, that they were greater than anything up on the face of this earth. And when I was young, we didn't have food to eat in the house. My cousins would come up, and they'd come up at Christmas and show me their brand new shotguns and tell me how they shot squirrels and how they shot deer and stuff like that. They'd show me their new guitars and all that, and we didn't have food to eat. I worked, and I worked hard to master my trade so that I would never have to worry about that again. And so I got into Aerospace Workers Union. And it had to do with the space shuttle and stuff like that. I got into that. I left there and went to the UA. And pipe fitters, steam fitters. And when I got those books, that meant that I didn't have to worry the rest of my life. I mean, I had a high-paying job. And I had a high-paying job all my life. And I didn't have to look for a job. I had a BA. I had a business agent that took care of me. and I was on that job, and I was thinking about preaching about Christ and talking about Christ. I'm thinking, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. So I decided to leave my job. And when I did, people say, you quitting, Jen? I said, yeah. They said, where are you going? I said, I ain't going nowhere. They said, what do you mean you ain't going nowhere? I said, I'm quitting the UA. I'm giving up my book. Thing that I'd worked for all my life. And you know, not only that, but I started to be a North Atlantic diver. Found out I was too old, so I couldn't do that. And then I told Mary Jo, I said, I'm going across seas. Because I ungodly amount of money I could have made across seas. And I told Mary Jo this. I said, Mary Jo, I might call you from the airport, and you might have to pick up the car in the parking lot. I said, but I don't care if you pick up the car in the parking lot, because the company will pay for it. I said, I'm going to be gone. And I was headed across seas. I applied for places. And then I got saved. I became a new creature, and I seen what I had in Christ Jesus. I desired this more than anything in the world because of what Christ did for me. Folks, when I left that nickel plant, a guy said to me, where are you going, Jan? I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. He looked at me and he said, what church are you going to? I said, don't have a church. He said, wait a minute, Jan. You going to preach the gospel? You don't have a church? I said, that's right. I said, I trusted Christ for my soul for eternity. I can trust He'll put people in front of me for me to preach to. He said, Jan, you don't know what you got. I turned around to him. I said, you don't know what I got. Folks, I became a new creature. When did you become a new creature? When did it come to a point where it's not just words? It's not that right there is an inanimate object right there. There's no life in that. It became the Spirit of God that was inside of me. The Spirit of God was there. It was not inanimate objects. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I did, it changed my whole life. When did you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there a day that you can remember that you, I guess he's having to adjust a lot, that you became a new creature? It's like yesterday to me. I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Have you got a day in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can you remember that? See, it's not just words. You know what I'm having a problem with right now? And I see it all the time, and it's becoming more and more a problem. In Gatlinburg, I preach that it's not just believing. People say you believe, and you can believe in vain, folks. We have people, and in Gatlinburg, I preached on this, there are people that are raised up in right division. And they believe because they believe this inanimate object, I can't hardly say the word, object up here, that they're saved. There's life that's in the Spirit. I have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. The Bible says I'm circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The Bible says I have a house that's made without hands, folks. It has to do with the Spirit, not something that's written down on papers, on tablets of stone, or tables of stone, like I think it says. It has to do with you coming to a point in your life that you got lost. Yes, you got lost. And it was to the point that you knew that no matter what you done, what you thought, what you think, you couldn't outthink God, you're going to hell. Folks, it's not a matter of what you believe, it's who you believe in. If what you believe don't take you to a place where that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it says, then you're not saved. Listen, a girl came up to me and she said, I was raised in right division. And she's in tears. She's in tears. And she said, I was raised in right division. I thought I was okay because I've always been okay because I've always believed. Folks, I'm running into that all the time. I went to Pensacola, Florida. And when I went to Pensacola, Florida, There's a woman that walked up to me and said, I'm so glad I know right division, and I'm glad my kids know right division. Because they've never been lost because they've known it all their life. It's called the second generation of rightly dividers. Now, I just recently, about 4 or 5 months ago, had a guy in my church tell me that he's always been saved. He said, I'm a second generation of rightly dividers. He said, I've always been saved. You know why? He believes. Folks, there's got to be a time when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It ain't that you just believe. No, in other words, this is the foundation right here. That is history, folks. That is history. It's already happened. The death, burial, and resurrection. That is history. That's the foundation of our salvation. Now, by seeing this, you can see that God Almighty accepted His Son. Whenever God raised Him from the dead, He was made accepted. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. I thank God every day I wake up for this. Folks, if you're not doing things for Christ, what are you doing it for? All of this is going to burn every bit of it. Thank God, I'll be glad it's gone. The elements are going to catch on fire and it's all going to be gone. And if you're not doing it for Christ, you're going to have nothing in eternity. Say, I'm saved. Here you are. If you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there's rewards. You know, I could have built up my rewards here. Let me tell you something. I could use that my retirement. That's a lot of money that I throwed underneath the table. I don't regret it at all. I stay in shape because I have to. I have to work. I mean, I have to work. You know, I would have had it made right now. But I don't regret it at all. Not the first. I love it. I love every day when I get up. I love my wife. I love what I am in Christ Jesus. Man, I just feel sorry for people who don't know that. Just feel my heart sinks in my chest for people who don't know and can't feel what I feel about the Spirit being inside of me and having this new heart. It's sad. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look in verse 24. Then he's verse 23. But in verse 22, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are under him, it is manifested that he is, now watch, accepted, which did put all things under him. Folks, this right here shows me the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's accepted. He's put in place. He is the Bible says in like in verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, he takes everything in the kingdom that offends God. Everything that, and he said everything. And the last enemy that's going to be taken care of is death. That's the last thing. And when Jesus Christ takes all that offends out of the kingdom and he cleans up everything, God Almighty at time in history said, I've had it. I'm not going to take no more. Mankind has always been this way and they're still like that and they ain't never going to change and God Almighty going to destroy the world. But Jesus Christ said, no, I'll be the sacrifice of the world. And so when Jesus Christ was sacrificed and went into the ground, God Almighty made it, he says it's been made manifest that he is accepted. God accepted that sacrifice for your sins. And it's been made manifest that he is in charge. And then he's in charge and until every enemy is taken out of the way. And folks, if you hadn't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are an enemy. And he said, until every enemy be taken out of the way. And he said, it was made manifest that he's in charge. And it says that when every enemy, and when all the enemies, even death is taken out of the way, then he's going to turn it back over to God, and God's going to become all in all. That's what the verse says. What this is showing you is that Jesus Christ has the power to save you. This is the foundation to show you that He's put in charge, and He has that power to save you. And if you don't call upon the Lord, if you don't trust Him as your Lord and Savior, then you're going to hell. He has that power. And I see people all the time, they learn this truth. And it's like tables of stone. It's inanimate. It's words. They don't have the heart. When you say the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's with the heart. And when you read in the Bible, it's all about the heart. That's the center of everything. The center of all your emotions, all your thoughts, everything. Your heart's the center of it. And folks, there are people that sit up there with stony hearts and they believe in the inanimate things about the Bible, but they never trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It's likened unto a man that he's on death row. And he's on death row, and this other man comes up to him and says, "Hey, listen, I know this guy that can get you off of death row." And the guy says, "Oh, you do?" He said, "Yeah, I do." And said, "This man, he wins every case. He never loses a case. Never has he ever lost a case. And he can get you off of death row." And the guy said, "Okay, I want to hear about this." He said, "This man, the reason he wins all his cases is because his daddy's a judge. You see, Jesus Christ's daddy is the judge." And he said, "He can get you off." And the man says, "Praise God, hallelujah, I can get off." And so he runs around and he tells everybody in the prison, I can get out of this. I know a man that can get me out of this. And he's never lost a case, and his daddy's a judge. And he's happy. He's content. And he tells everybody, and he runs around the whole cell and prison and stuff, telling everybody he's getting off of death row. And then they come to get him and say, "Okay, today's the day. You're going to get the chair." He said, "Well, wait a minute. Now I know this man. He can get me off. I mean, his daddy's a judge. He's never lost a case. I know him." And the guy said, "Yeah, but you never called upon him." Folks, it's sad to know that people are arguing about forgiveness of sins. When they got saved, when are you forgiven? Argue about justification, sanctification, and they argue. They got hearts of stone. They don't have tender heart. Folks, your only enemy that you have is death. And you're going to die. And it's like say you got this woman or girl pregnant, and she forgives you. It don't stop that child from coming. That child's going to come. I don't care how much you've been forgiven, how much anybody, and you decide that child's going to come. Folks, you've been forgiven of all your sins, but death is coming. That ain't going to stop that. And you're going to face death. And what's going to happen at death, it's going to matter who you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have a Savior, you're not going to go. There's a man that's in heaven right now. And he has holes in his hands. Holes in his feet and a hole in his side. That man saved me. That man saved me. This is what got me to the point right here. This inanimate stuff here got me to that point when I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then I had the Spirit of God and I trusted Christ. Folks, if you can go back and you can take Him off the cross, then you can have my salvation. But I trusted in a man to save me. When did you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? Just because you believe this don't mean that you're saved. Look what he says in Ephesians. You hadn't always been saved. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, Romans chapter 10, I always have problems with that with other people because they're trying to do away with that, you know, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the us to Israel. And I say, look at the pronoun. They, them. No, it's Paul talking to the Gentiles about Israel. But do you know the first time that a man in the Bible called upon the Lord? Does anybody here know when that first time was? Genesis chapter 5. Seth. Seth is the first man in the Bible that called upon the Lord. You know why? Because he never seen death before. Think about it. Until Cain slew Abel, there was no death in the world. But when Cain slew Abel, you know what Seth seen? He could die. He seen death. And the Bible says he called upon the Lord. There have been people calling upon the Lord since the beginning of time as we know it. Folks, I called upon the Lord to save me. And He saved me. I didn't know nothing about riding the vision. I didn't know that. But I knew that that man saved me. That's all I knew. Brother Moore had a guy that preached to him in a, what do you call those things when it come to evangelists came to town? And he got saved. You know what Brother Moore said? He said, I knew one verse. Barely, barely I say unto you, he that heareth my, receiveth me and something has everlasting life shall not come under condemnation. He said, that's all I knew. He didn't know right division. He went to work, but he knew that Christ saved him. He went to work and just repeated that verse over and over again, folks. It ain't what you believe, it's who you believe in. Look what it said in Ephesians chapter 1. And I realize that you believe it brings you to this point. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It brings you to that point. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse... I'm going to cut in here because I've got to quit. In verse 13, and I'm not on drugs, so I can't keep on. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. Now what? Look at the word after. You see that? In whom you trusted. Now watch the word after. In whom you also trusted. In whom? Christ. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You hear it. You believe it. You believe what? That He has the power to save you. And that God Almighty saved you if you trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He has that power. Now watch what He says in verse 13. He says, in whom you also trusted after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believe. That's things that happen after that you believe, is it not? After that you believe. Notice what He said. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, I'm sealed when I trust Christ. It's not a matter of words. It's a matter of becoming a new creature. All things have become old. All things have become new. I thank God that I'm saved. Do you not? Amen for salvation. Right on the dot.
Let me just say to you that...